You're listening to Careers and Cocktails, career talk with a twist, hosted by expert recruiter Renee Fry. Let's get this party started.
Hey, party people, welcome back to Careers and Cocktails. Today, I'm going to be zooming in with Mike Gianta, who is one of my favorite coaches on the planet. And he's going to be drinking his favorite, a 7 and 7. And since we are still stay at home, I came up with a tequila sunrise. So what you need is 1.5 ounces of tequila, 3/4 cup of orange juice, and then 3/4 ounce grenadine. And then you put it in a lowball glass with ice. So I'm gonna put in the tequila first. And then I'm actually going to put in the grenadine. And they said use it with a spoon to get it down there. I've never made one of these before. So hopefully that's the right method. And then lastly, the orange juice. So the pretty red is at the bottom, and then we will garnish with a maraschino cherry. Ta-da! Tequila sunrise. Cheers! Party people, welcome back to Careers and Cocktails. Today I'm thrilled to have Mike Gianta on with me, and we are zooming in since it is a world of COVID-19. And Mike, tell us about yourself.
Tell us about, well, I was born in 19.
Okay. No,
I've been I owned a recruiting firm for 20 years. And about 10 years ago, I sold and transitioned that into kind of a business that teaches other owners, recruiting firms, search firms, how to scale, how to get clients. And also as part of that, especially the last 10 or 15 years, coaching kids in a variety of different sports and in high school now has been a huge part of my life. It's one of the reasons I actually chose recruiting as a profession, to have kind of that flexibility to be with my kids, you know, when they were young. And now that they're all grown up, I'm still coaching other people's kids.
I love it. And you're drinking a 7 and 7. Tell me, why did you pick a 7 and 7?
Well, you were taunting me to come up, like, so I, cocktail, I'm thinking exotic. Actually, my daughter, because of the, my 25-year-old daughter came back home from New York because of the, what's going on a couple months ago. And she's really good at this stuff. And I'm like, think of one. And I'm finally like, you know what? No, this, I at least have a story behind this boring old drink. It goes back to like college, because 7-Up and Seagram's, it's relatively mild, it's very sweet, and never completely detached from it. And you know, a couple of years ago, I was out at this very, very, very high-end bar with some friends of mine, you know, that served really exotic stuff. And I said, you know, and my friend's like, what can I get you? I'm like, you know, screw it, just give me a 7 and 7. And he's like, oh, that's, you know, guy's my age. And he's like, oh, yeah, we'll see if he even knows what that is. So he goes up to the bar. He brings me back one. He goes, you know, son of a gun. I go, what? He goes, I asked the guy, and this was mostly a young crowd in this bar, when was the last time he made a 7 and 7? He goes, I've made at least 20 tonight. So I felt vindicated.
Oh, that's awesome.
I felt vindicated.
I love it. Well, I made a tequila Cosmo because I don't have 7 and 7. And so I just made what I had in the house. So cheers.
Cheers. Delicious.
It is delicious.
It never lets me down.
So, Mike, is there anything we can celebrate for you this week?
It's, well, you know, as we're recording this, it's the first week of May. And, you know, as all this went down, as you know, in our industry, Renee, like people are getting killed, right? We're in the employment marketplace when everybody's downsizing, at least temporarily. And as a company, we kind of completely repivoted about 6 weeks ago now to change kind of our support mechanism. And we run these meetings every week with our clients who are, you know, and we're keeping like group metrics. And I'm just really proud of They're getting retainers, they're getting openings, they're making placements. And there's just like this energy that we're experiencing with them like a couple times a week, where the rest of the recruiting world might be in a suffering mode, and maybe we're all under our own little bubble, but they're doing really, really fantastic.
Oh, cheers to that.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's important. And I listened to one of your, was it a webinar or something? Mm-hmm. And it helped when you talked about fear and then something in the middle and then fight. And I was like, yep, I'm going to be on that fight curve and keep going. So thank you for that valuable information.
Yeah, there's people that go into, in any crisis like this, they go into fear and panic. And that's a sharp descending curve. And then you have people that are, they called it the unfocused leader, a friend of mine, Todd Herman, that's where I got these terms from. And they kind of just stay on the line and they vacillate. And generally what happens is those leaders, when they come out of a crisis, is they're no better off having gone through the crisis. And they're the same or even weaker 2 or 3 years after the event. And the people like you, Renee, that are, and I know you will, that go into fight mode, that all these three people might be pretty close for a month in their revenue and what, and it might appear from the outside that they're all doing about the same stuff. But the person in the fight mode really takes advantage of an opportunity like this that was bestowed upon us to figure out a way to get better, stronger, faster, so that once we cross that survival line, right, those people really rock it up.
Absolutely. So tell me, how did you... So going into coaching, you have to have so much mindset, like the information you're sharing. How do you learn all of that to help so many people?
Well, it starts really well. It's really easy for me, Renee, when you have a highly flawed mindset to start with. So, so for those of you that are, for those people that are farther along, they don't recognize a highly flawed mindset like I was. But I think mine has always been a journey of, not only how do I do something better, like how do I market to get more clients better? How do I script better? How do I become more, procrastinate less? But then what makes me procrastinate? Because when we procrastinate something, there's something running in the background. So for me, it really has been a journey of really understanding why I do the stuff I do. And then when you start to understand, most of us go through the same process. As a coach, then you can help filter that out with people. You can ask them some really pointed questions, because most people do things because they're on autopilot. You know, you wake up in the morning, you have your morning routine, and then when you go to work, you know, in the start of your day, do you really think about the start of your day? Now, there's some people that are highly proactive, very well planned. Most aren't. I was one of those that wasn't. And then, so from a standpoint of mindset, it really started with me exploring me first, probably a lot from 2000 to 2010. And that's what really pivoted me into coaching.
Got it. And pretend I'm a kindergartner, so I'm half the size, maybe quarter the size. What do you do for a living? Explain to me.
As a kindergartner, I take people that have chosen to make money for themselves in a field of helping people get jobs, but really helping companies that have trouble people finding the right people to do the right job. And then we help those companies that are trying to create those matches find better ways to identify those companies, better ways to identify those people and qualify them, and then better ways to get a lot more of those clients, and then how to teach other people that they would hire to do the same thing, to kind of so that over and over again, you create a highly scalable model. Because I think any person that owns their own business, especially small shops, can get at the early stages of what they develop, and this was what was true for me, anything we do that's new is usually fascinating until it's boring. Mm-hmm. You know, it becomes fascinating and then we kind of plateau and then it's like drudgery. So what I do, this might be a little bit beyond kindergartner, is when they hit that plateau or when they go into drudgery, that's where kind of mindset kicks in, because they don't know another way. So then it's like, well, what would have to be true for you to wake up every morning, have your feet hit the ground and go, I can't wait to get to work today? So that's a question we help them answer.
Isn't that what everyone wants, Mike?
Yes. Most people aren't willing to do what it takes to get there.
Exactly. So let's go way back to your childhood. What did you want to be when you grew up, Mike?
I wanted to be a pilot.
Ah.
I'm still fascinated with flight. You know, like, my first job out of college, I was selling on the road, and there was the Providence, Rhode Island Airport was in my territory. I would buy like Subway or McDonald's and sit on the hood of my car at the end of the runway and watch planes take off. I mean, I can still do that. I've always been fascinated with flight. Never became a pilot, though.
Yeah, I love flying. I think it's fascinating.
Miss flying.
Oh, gosh, I know, right? I need a vacation like you never know. So we're going to go on a party bus, and if you could choose anyone, they have to be alive, though. Who are you going to join? Who's going to join us on our party bus, Mike?
I thought a long and hard about this. There's like a whole bunch of people, so I almost had to do like an elimination in pairs. This is the question I took most seriously. And it's if you watch him on television, he's highly boring. But I chose Bill Belichick.
Oh, he's the coach of the Patriots.
The head coach of the Patriots. So depending on the audience, most of the country hates the Patriots because they win a lot. But I was Patriots in 2-14 seasons, 1-15 seasons. I had season tickets when they were losers. But the reason for Belichick is I study him as a coach.
Oh.
One, he's got a phenomenal sense of humor. If you interview people that have played for him, what you see in public is not who he is. So when you said like party bus, you know, he's got to be a little bit of fun. And from what I understand from people behind the scenes is he's hysterical, number one. Number two, I want the answers to why didn't Malcolm Butler play in the Super Bowl against the Patriots? So one, he'd have to be on the bus under truth serum. Like he'd have to tell me anything I asked him.
And we're going to get him liquored up so he'll have truth serum.
Right. Liquor him up. Number two, you must think Brady's done. Right? You must think he's really on that descending curve. Those are the two questions I want to answer. Anything else on how he motivates players, how he gets inside people's head, that's all gravy. I want those two questions. Why did Malcolm Butler play in the Super Bowl against the Eagles? We could have won that one. And number two, what is your real opinion on Brady in 2020?
I love it. Well, and I was at the Super Bowl watching the Patriots against the Eagles here in Minneapolis.
I remember.
But I was so mad that they didn't win. And
they didn't put Butler in. The Patriots had over 500 yards of offense. They never punted in that game. They should have won that game.
Oh, they should have. They should have. But going back to Belichick, when you first said that, I thought, we don't want some grumpy guy on the party bus. But knowing that he kind of puts on this game face persona.
Right. So that, like, the guarantee I would make him is that I could never repeat anything he told me. And I could never even, let's say, mention that I was on a party bus with him. Perfect. So that way he had to tell me everything I wanted. He had to be his natural self.
I love it. I got to figure out how we can do that. So Mike, tell me about your journey of starting your own business. When did you know it was the right time to take that leap to become your own boss?
So when I went to college, I went to college for marketing. And I thought art of marketing I'll never do is sell. Never. It's beneath me. I looked at sales as something unintelligent people did, right? I had a total horrible perception of it, but I was going to be a marketer. I was going to be in advertising and corporate, and I was going to design the campaigns. And when I got out of school, I did that for a little while. And then I became in that marketing job. I actually sold a lot. So I went to Motorola where I could get, I got 20, you know, 3 years old. I got a company car. I got a territory. And I remember driving around and meeting my customers, and they were small business owners who were really good craftsmen. But just kind of assessing their business, which is what I had to do to sell them a communication system, was like, geez, these people aren't the brightest business people in the world. And they weren't, and I'm not saying they were stupid. And I'm like, if these guys can do it, they had no business, formal business education. They just said if they were electrician, let's say, they were just really good electricians with a lot of ambitions, and they took more risks than maybe a guy that would just work as an electrician. And then that combined with a few years later, Motorola really kind of messed with my income the way they played with my quota. And I started interviewing at other companies because I was pissed off. That's why, you know, people leave companies.
Right.
And I go, you know, if I go somewhere else, this is going to happen again in 3 or 4 years. I'll go through the euphoria of the, you know, the new dating process and the new marriage, and then they're going to piss me off And then, you know, that the, at some point I thought about it, the only real security that I'll ever have is if I take the risk to go off on my own. And my wife and I had just gotten married. Her job could barely pay the bills, but we wouldn't starve. And I'm like, we didn't have kids yet. And I go, if we're going to do it, now's the time. And I had to get real creative with, I won't bore you with the story, to get the lending, but it was like, this is the moment to do it. Worst case scenario, I fail. I can get another sales job.
Right.
So it was, you know, I was probably, you know, 24, 25 when I started thinking about it, and I pulled the trigger at 26.
That's pretty young.
I was the youngest franchisee in Management Recruiters.
Oh, congratulations. That's great. That's great. So tell me, Mike, what's the most rewarding part of your job?
I love it when people surprise themselves, right? You know, there's that moment where either they've never sold a retainer before and they get their first retainer. You know, so I've had recruiters 30 years in the business that had this belief that people didn't pay retainers in their niche. You know, so on the low end, you get that, you know, like a month into the relationship, they got their first deposit. They have a team that's doing something that's humming, and it all starts coming together. You know, seeing that kind of transformation in others is the most rewarding part of what I do.
I love that. And you helped me tremendously. We scaled my business through your coaching, like 305%, blew my mind. Obviously I did all the work and took the action, but with your guidance, I wouldn't have achieved that. So thank you. Thank you. Cheers to that.
Well, cheers to you, because you've always been on that fight line, Renee.
Right. Although it's hard. It's hard. This is a different world. Going back, though, to what you do, Mike, what's the most frustrating part?
I think the most frustrating part is when I see somebody, and this is like, it's not even working with, it's not just working with owners. I coach kids, too, right? So, you know, anywhere between 9 years old and 18 years old, depending on the level. And you see, you know, I know, like with 100% in my heart, that they have the ability and they're too afraid to step out and they end up settling. Like you just said it, Renee, I can say, here's the alphabet. And if you follow every letter, you'll be at Z and you'll be fine, right? You start at A, well, I don't know what the alphabet is. I'm going to teach you a letter. I'm going to teach you D after you learn C. I'm going to teach you E after you learn D. And you did all that, to your credit. And it's that person that stands on the edge of fear of whatever. There's a story about not being good enough. What if I'm rejected? What if they don't like me? All of that's irrelevant. And they don't move forward. You know, like you said, we can only teach. I can only even help them uncover mindset-wise what they're doing. And then there's a fraction of the people I work with and there's a fraction of people, kids I coach, that just stay stuck at a level.
Right. Isn't that frustrating to see people with all this potential, but yet it's fear that holds them back? It's like, get out of here.
I've had to learn to let that go. Like in my heart, you know, anytime I see someone like that, I'm like, because I'll never say, you know, like, oh, Renee, you just won't do it. You're just not doing the work. Because there's no growth there for me. What is it in me that is not bringing out the result in her is the question as a coach I always ask myself. And it's what I always coach my clients to ask because a lot of people when they have recruiters are like, well, I don't know why he or she isn't working that hard. Okay, well, that's a good question, but there's no power in that question. What is it in me in my leadership that's not bringing out the results in them? And that's kind of the go-to question. And as long as you're asking a question like that, no matter what the other person's doing, at least I'm growing.
Right. Those are excellent.
He's not going to do the work. You know, and I never write anyone off.
Those are excellent questions. So Mike, if you were able to sit down with your 20-year-old self, what would you say?
I'd say to worry a lot less, you know, cause we've run a few things with our clients over the last few weeks. And there's a guy named Michael Hyatt. And to quote him, I just saw him like March 15th, kind of as this was evolving. And it was just a great reminder that you've survived 100% of the crisis you've went through, right? So we enter something like this and a lot of us freak out. I did for about 24 hours. We had this beautiful business plan. We were executing to it wonderfully. And then, you know, March happens. And I said, so what I made myself do was, and this is what I would tell my 20-year-old self, is you're going to get through every crisis. Each one of those is going to expand your capability. And when you've gone through it, you're going to be grateful that you went through it.
That's
so
great.
That's how actually you've treated this one, right? Every other recession I've gone through, I freaked out for a couple of years. This one, I freaked out for a day. So I'll give myself that. And I'm like, okay, you know, bring it. What am I going to learn? What am I going to learn? Yeah. Bring it.
Yeah, that's great. All right, we're moving to the lightning round. This is very, I'm going to ask you questions quickly and they have to be short responses, okay?
You got it.
All right, Mike, what was your first paid job?
First paid job was with Hardee's.
$2.91
an hour.
How much?
$2.91 an hour. My first check, net of taxes, I still remember, $36.
Oh.
I was a millionaire. I was a millionaire. I never had $36 in my hand at one time. Pass that check.
Oh my gosh. Have you ever gotten a job through someone you know?
Yes.
Favorite?
Burger
question?
King.
What?
Hardee's had closed down for renovations for like 3 months, and my friend who left Hardee's got me a job at Burger King. Because I was trained and, you know, skilled.
I love it. Favorite question to ask when networking?
When networking, what's your favorite place that you've traveled to and why?
Oh, I like that one. What is yours? What's your favorite place you've traveled to and why?
Rome.
Oh.
I love the history, you know, the way Rome combines a living city and a museum, like interconnected. There's not like a place where one ends and the other one doesn't. It's just amazing.
It is. I spent 5 days there years ago and it was just mind blowing. I could spend like a whole year there and I swear you would find something new. Don't see.
We've gone back a couple times and I would rent there for like a month in like fall when it quiets down a little and just be able to walk around and just hang out at the piazzas, have wine and some pasta and just watch people go. It's just an amazing environment. You've been there, right? You can't really even put it into words.
No, you can't. And when we went, we had to buy this flip book so I could see what it actually looked like back in the day.
I bought that book too. Yeah.
Incredible. Like, oh my goodness. Okay. We could talk about Rome for days. Have you ever been fired, Mike?
No.
Oh, lucky you. I have. What's
I could see that.
What?
I said I could see that.
I was actually fired for my attitude. It was a bar job. I was a server at a bar while I was going to college. But yeah, they fired me for my attitude. Oh goodness. Okay.
I haven't had a job since I was 26.
Lucky you. Okay. What's on your bucket list that you want to share?
Bucket list is, I've already, and this is what I'm starting to do, is I'm developing, and it's just at the very early stages, a program that's going to really teach entrepreneurship to young kids.
Awesome.
As kind of an option as a career. So that it's not to not go to college, it's when and if I go to college, it's here's one of my things I want to have, create awareness around, so that there might be courses. I've started to work with some local entrepreneurs that are kind of like my age that want to like pass that on. And that's a huge thing. I mean, travel, we've already begun executing on that. You know, execution is like a business plan, right? Executing on travel. I try to go to a real neat like destination at least once every 2 years.
Awesome. I love it. What is something you could teach me about?
What is something I could teach you about? Something I could teach you about, Renee, is playing a bigger game.
I like it. I like it.
You've got a lot more in you.
So that was personal to me. I'm going to take that to heart.
I can teach almost anybody, but you, knowing you, I know you should be playing, not should, because I would never should all over you. I know you could, with choice, play a much bigger game based on your ability, your attitude, your energy.
Thank you. That makes me feel... I'm actually getting kind of emotional about that. It makes me feel good that you say that. I'm proud. Maybe that's the feeling. I've had way too many feelings lately. And what's the most useful thing you own?
the most useful thing I own? I've just got to, if it's, you know, if I had to pick one thing just off the top of my head, it's got to be the thing I'm talking to you through, right? This,
sure.
This PC, right? I have access with this. You have access to the entire planet. You know, we've run all our, because of this, you know, like you've gone to our masterminds, right? You've been there for 2 days live. We have to do our June one virtually, right?
Oh, so, wow.
But not for technology. You know, we couldn't help people at the level we're helping them at.
Absolutely. What's your spirit animal, Mike?
My spirit animal? The male lion, not the female lion. The female lion's the hunt, you know, she's the one who does everything, right? And the male lion kind of sits in the shade and kind of chills out. Every once in a while he protects. That's my spirit animal.
I love it. And what about, last question, what's a must-read book or podcast that everyone should listen to?
The must-listen-to podcast is the Successful Mind podcast by David Nagel. Heads and above, for me, it's one I'm addicted to. David's been a mentor of mine for years, personally. And I've referred all my clients to him. And and he also wrote a book called The Millions Within. You can get that on Amazon. But, you know, so instead of referring one author, and this might be a tired book that people recommend a lot, but Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. It's not just Think and Grow Rich, like literally, it's Think and Grow Rich as a human being. When you really break the things down, and that's kind of the work I did with David. When people read that book at a very surface level, it's like, oh, it's a lot of woo crap. Or, you know, all I have to do is think about it and it'll happen. No, there's a series of steps, but which is why I read that book almost every year. You know, and I went through different years where I've read it and I use different color highlightings. And there's every time I read it, there's something I swear to God I never read before in that book. So those are the two things. Because I think once you get over yourself and your fears, is really when you can take bold action. Because a lot of people go, well, I can't because fill in the blank. Well, it's bullshit. I'm okay with somebody saying, I'm choosing not to. You know, that's your choice. I'll respect your choice. But never tell me you can't because. Because right. I can always find a way to do it.
Those are great recommendations. I've read David Nagel's book because I went to one of his events and saw your picture. Remember I texted you?
Yes.
You're like on this big banner as a testimonial. But yeah, his podcast is great. And I've read Think and Grow Rich multiple times too. Great, great, great. Where can everyone find you, Mike?
The Recruiter U as your university.com. You can follow, you know, and if you're a recruiter, we have a Facebook. It's a private public Facebook group. We admit people into it all the time, the Recruiter Think Tank. Those are probably the two best places to get a hold of me.
Awesome. Well, for all of you hiring leaders, if you want the secrets to finding the best talent, go to careersandcocktails.com. And for all of you frustrated job seekers who want a job that you love, go to the same place to figure out where you can purchase my book, as well as my resume writing and coaching services. Mike, thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate you. I'm so grateful for you. Cheers.
Cheers, Renee, and congratulations on all your success too.
Oh, thank you.
Nothing like midday drinking. Right on.